Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special guest. He's an actor and comedian from Good Girls, and I am not okay with this. It's Dave Tooney.
Hi.
Hi. Can I say something that maybe a bunch of people say about your theme song?
Sure.
It's so nice and upbeat and it puts me in an immediate good mood, and aww, I really love it. It's really, really great. Is that you singing?
No, we wish. No, our friend Andrew Bear created it for us. They are a musical genius.
Yeah.
I just told them like we just want something fun and girly and basketball related, and they just like spit that out, and we were just like, this is perfect.
Yeah, no notes.
No, none. It feels like summer. It feels like SoCal. It's really great. It's really great.
We're big fans.
So glad you like it. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Things are good. Nothing exciting is going on except for the NBA playoffs. But life is good on this end. How about you?
Doing okay.
Loving.
It's starting to warm up.
Summertime in LA. Yeah.
Fully summertime now.
Yeah.
We got a little June gloom, and that was fun.
Yeah, for sure. Excuse me. I thought about this yesterday when I was on a little run, and it was still so nice out yesterday. Like, it's still, the days aren't brutal. They're getting there now. But yesterday it was like so nice, and the last few weeks have been so nice. And I was outside, and I was like, man, I just want to be outside all day when it's like this. I never want to go inside. I never want to do anything indoors. It's just so wonderful. Are you two like, do you like to get outdoors when it's like this? Or are you like, no, we're cool being inside. That's our thing.
I think we're definitely outdoors people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anastasia has a great little garden that we've spent much of the last year hanging out in. Yeah. What a joy it was to have that space, for sure.
Yeah.
We like to go out.
Yesterday we wanted to do a happy hour yesterday, and
first time.
Yeah. Our first happy hour after being vaccinated.
Yeah.
And we were trying to choose a place, and ultimately we were like, it has to have a patio. We have to be outside.
We gotta go outside. Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect. Yeah.
I love springtime in LA, where it's warm in the day and cool at night and everything's blooming.
Yeah,
it's just perfect. And now we're moving into summer, which we've got June gloom and then fire season at the far end of the summer. So this part is like the fun part.
Yeah, exactly.
Fire season does sound exciting. Like, it's devastating and horrific for so many of us.
Yeah.
But it's also a cool sounding name for a season. I wish it wasn't as awful as it is, but it's a cool name.
They should rebrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. It sounds like an anime or something.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where it's like a whole, or like a fantasy world where it's like there's a whole different world. They have fire season. It's really great.
A Netflix show. Yeah. I'm feeling it.
Yes. Are you two, forgive me if, again, I'm not going to say this again. Forgive me if you've said this before.
You don't have to know anything about it, so don't worry about that.
Are you two from California? Where are you from? Where are you from? Arizona.
Yeah, so she's from Arizona.
Yes. From Arizona.
I'm originally from Canada, and then I was in Texas for a long time, and now I've been here. I just became a U.S. citizen a couple months ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Canada and Texas. What fun accents, different accents to be subjected to.
I don't think I picked those up. I don't know.
I think you still got a little Canada. I'm from Wisconsin, and I get a lot of, are you from Canada?
And
then on acting gigs, it's happened more than once where they'll be like, hey, can you tone it down a little bit? Can you tone the accent down?
You're like, I did not know.
I can't. I don't think I can. When you moved to LA, or we moved to SoCal, or wherever you moved to initially when you came to California, I don't know if you're like me, but when I first moved here and it turned into spring, and I smelled jasmine for the first time in my life.
Yes.
I was like, what is that? That is the best smell I've ever smelled. And Now every spring when it comes, it takes me right back to my first year in LA, and I love it every time. And I search it out, and I've got places right by my apartment that it's like a wall of jasmine.
Yeah, she's got some jasmine in her garden, so it blooms out there.
Yeah,
it's so nice.
It's so pungent. Like you don't, because you're right. When I first moved here, I was like, I don't know where the smell is coming from.
Mm. It just like
comes at you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And eventually you see like, oh, there's a big wall of it in someone's house or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I'm so excited that I moved into a place that has like a big hedge where jasmine's sort of taking it over.
It's so nice. Yeah.
It looks like garbage when it's not blooming.
Yeah.
But when it's blooming, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. And I love the jacaranda trees. So they're like the purple trees that are all over LA. They start blooming in like, I think like April or something. And then they just leave their purple leaves everywhere like trash.
On everyone's car.
They like ruin cars, but they're so beautiful.
They've destroyed my car. I park under one virtually every day. It's definitely hit my car. With those trees and then the jasmine. And then have you ever been to Big Bear?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've never been.
You've never been. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's great. But in Big Bear, they have like these like big boulders in the mountains that I had never seen being from Wisconsin. Wisconsin's pretty flat. But they had like these boulders that I've only seen like in old Westerns, I feel like. and now I'm like, oh, that's where they shot this stuff. But like that first year I went to these places, I was like, this is all Hollywood. This is all the smell, the sights, everything. I loved it. I still do. It's great.
It's so nice up there. I love it up there. Great.
Gabe, do you have jasmine in Denver?
I'm ashamed to admit I might not know it if I saw or smelled it.
Gabe, how dare you?
How dare you admit that?
I like things that smell nice.
They're like little white flowers.
Yeah, it's like a vine. Mm-hmm. So it's usually like a privacy hedge or like someone's on the side of someone's house or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder if the viewers, the listeners right now are like, 8 minutes in, we're still talking about jasmine? What is going on here?
They're used to whatever we throw at them, which is often weird.
There's probably one person who's like, I'm sorry, this isn't flower town.
Like, hey, it could be. I'm down for, rebooting the show.
A whole spinoff series. But, speaking of basketball, you're from Wisconsin. What part of Wisconsin are you from?
I grew up in a little town called Cedar Grove, Wisconsin. Cedar Grove is about 45 minutes north of Milwaukee, which is in southeastern Wisconsin. Cedar Grove, when I grew up, had less than 1,500 people. We had one four-way stop sign in the town, and it was basically six streets running one way and six streets running the other way. Nothing was open on Sundays. I had 60 people in my graduating class.
Oh, my goodness.
Four churches, one bar, and it was great.
You loved it.
I loved it.
So what was the culture shock? Did you move to LA after that or somewhere else?
When I lived in Cedar Grove, I went to college in the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. Where they make the overalls.
Nice. And of course
that was already like a bigger city for me. Mm-hmm. And that's like a small city, but for me I was like, all right, here we go. And it's the first time I'd ever heard someone go, a guy who I'd met in the dorms, we became friends, his name is Josh, and he's like, hey, you want to order a pie? I was like, a what? I'd never heard of pizza referred to as like just a pie. And also I'd never had delivery.
Wow.
There's everything. So I was like, yes. And
apple
I felt pretty
pie,
big.
Apple pie, please.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I thought that's what it was. I was like, yeah, I guess so. No, ice cream going to melt if we get it all out. And then after 2 years, I almost failed out of Oshkosh. And I was like, I got to get out of here. So I transferred to University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And for me, that was... I'd gone there as a kid every now and again, like the museum or the zoo. Mm-hmm. But then when I moved there for school, that was big time. That is it's a mid-sized city, but for me, it was like eye-opening, different types of people, different cultures. I was exposed to way, way more than I ever had been. and I love it. And I loved Milwaukee. I love it now. And like, you've probably had these conversations too, where you think like, hey, if I ever like, you know, hit the jackpot or whatever, where would I live? Mm-hmm. I love LA. I love Los Angeles. But I would definitely get a home in Milwaukee. It's really great. I really love it. And I feel like it's kind of where I like, I found my comedy there, and mm-hmm. I found like a bunch of, I had solidified like a bunch of friends and just like fell in love with the city. So that's where I'm from. And I moved out here to LA in 2009.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you've been out here for a while.
I've been on here for a little bit, a minute. I got a little bit of a late start, but when I moved to LA, and you can tell me what you think about it, but I loved it immediately. I loved Los Angeles immediately, and I wanted to be here. It was really great. Did you two love LA when you moved here? Did you indifferent, dislike it?
I do. I loved it. I was going to move to Seattle before decided to come here, but I'm glad I came here. I mean, I love the city. I always tell people who move here, like, you got to give it some time, because mm-hmm. for a lot of people, it's not an immediate love, because it's so overwhelming, and you have to like find your people. You have to find your like
for sure
interests.
Yeah.
And like, and then once you get to that point where you have a community, like, it is a place like no other. I really think that
I was growing up in Arizona. LA was like the big city that we would come to see bands and stuff. Like, as soon as I had a friend who could drive and had a car, we would do all nighters where we would drive to LA, see a band, and drive back. And it's a 6-hour drive. So it's like kind of bonkers that we did that. I'm surprised we didn't die.
No, I think that's amazing. I have a few quick thoughts about that. Seattle, when I was in high school, I'm older than you two. That's when grunge broke. Like Nirvana, uh-huh. Soundgarden, Pearl Jam. And Seattle was like the home for all things grunge. And I had it romanticized in my mind. I was like, I'm going to move there. I'm going to live there. I can't wait to be there. It sounds like the best city in the world. I've been there once, loved it. But then my sister lives in Scottsdale, Arizona. So I go visit her and drive there sometimes. That's a heck of a drive for you to be making to go see bands. That's like a 6-7 hour drive.
When you're a teen, you have unlimited energy.
Yeah, we would
unlimited
just like
time, unlimited energy. Yeah. There's nothing to do.
No fear of death.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I would just drive around all night with my friends in high school. We had nowhere to go. If LA would have been an option, we would have gone. But that would have been driving to like Chicago or Milwaukee didn't even enter my mind. I have a friend who lives in Wisconsin, and I don't see enough bands out here. Now the quarantine is kind of ending. I'm like, I'm going to go see music. But mm-hmm. my friend from Wisconsin, who's like way into bands, he's like, are you seeing every band? I was like, no, I'm not seeing anyone. He's like, what are you doing? Every band comes through LA. Everyone you want to see comes through LA. And I'm like, you're right. And now I'm trying to go and see more bands.
My teen self would be mad at me because I kind of don't really go to shows anymore because it's like there's so much going on.
I want to sit down.
So much.
I want to sit down. Is that a crime?
No, not at all.
But I don't enjoy like standing at, you know, the front of a venue.
Yeah, but but as a teen, it was like no one came to Arizona. I mean, in hindsight, lots of people did, and it was great. But you know, the bands I wanted to see never came. But
or like once every 3 years or something.
Exactly, yeah.
It was like that in Texas too.
But one great thing about LA though is that like no matter what you're into, literally, it could be the most niche thing. There is a community here for it. And there's so much to do. I mean, that's the thing is like, I constantly, before the pandemic, was just busy with like, oh, I want to go see this comedy show. I want to see this band. I want to go, you know, like whatever little thing if you're into knitting, there's like probably a huge knitting community here.
Yeah. And it's like, there's jobs here that don't exist anywhere else. Like, it's just such a specific LA thing. And you meet someone and they're like, I do this thing. And you're like, what? That's a job?
Yeah.
Cool.
I find that like, I've said this to other people too, that LA to me in the US feels like the easiest city to hate if you don't live in LA.
Yes.
And you have like whatever your preconceived thoughts and notions about it, which I have too. I tell people when I moved out, before I moved to LA, what I knew about LA was from, it was from the movies White Men Can't Jump, Friday, and The Big Lebowski. And that was my perception of LA. But it's it's an easy city to hate. And so you have to like come in, try to have kind of a clean slate. But, and I get it because Hollywood's the loudest voice here.
Right.
But Hollywood is like such a small part of LA. It is mainly a blue collar town. And I agree with you. LA is like unlike any other city, but at the same time, it's exactly like every other city. Like if you want it, if you want whatever you want, you can find that type of thing for the most part in LA. It doesn't have to be the Hollywood part of it. It's such a sprawling city with so many different people, most of them having nothing to do with the business.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And like there's amazing diversity, which means like amazing food everywhere, like that everywhere. You can't get anywhere else.
It's a very international city. It's great.
What's the last thing you ordered? What's the last thing you ordered food wise? Most recently. Do you remember? Do you do a lot of ordering out or less? The last restaurant you go to? Mine was there's a place on Hillhurst called Green Leaves. It's like a vegan restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I go there quite a bit, and that's the last place I went. That was like a couple days ago.
I had their spicy chicken sandwich.
I've heard it's great and I haven't tried it yet.
It's
great.
So good.
Yeah. Anastasia is vegetarian.
Yeah.
So. I'm getting it. I might get it today.
You gotta. It's so good. I normally get like a plate there, or like they have the pumpkin cha-cha, I think it's called. It's like pumpkin curry. It's so good. Yum. But that spicy chicken sandwich blew my mind.
I'm getting it. I'm getting it today. I'm super excited. I usually get the Cajun stir fry with either tofu or fake chicken. It's the one place I've ever had in my life. And maybe you've had this. I've never had a bar where they're like the usual or a restaurant. But this restaurant, I do. And he's like spicy or like Cajun stir fry with tofu. And I'm like, yes.
You know me.
Yeah. And he's like, the fresh rolls? Uh-huh. Extra peanut sauce? Yep. And a cookie? Uh-huh. It's like the same thing. We have a reel to do.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think maybe the last thing I ordered was ramen from Tatsu, which I love.
Where is that?
They have a few different locations. The one that I usually go to is on Melrose, like Melrose La Brea.
Okay.
Delicious. I love ramen. What about you?
You know, I've been on a little bit of a health kick, so I haven't been ordering or eating out as much. But the last place I can remember, and this probably isn't true, but the only thing that's coming to mind is we went to this little alleyway in Lincoln Heights that has a bunch of taco stands and like pupusa stands. And it's like Mexican street food and Salvadorian food.
It's a whole street with like vendors like lined up all along it. It's so good. The food is amazing.
And we went on a Sunday, and our friends just bought a truck, which we kept making fun of them about. But then we just ate tacos in the back of the truck, and it was amazing.
It was great. It was
like the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah. Like we just climbed in there and ate tacos, and I had horchata, like, and
we got elote
with like flaming hot Cheetos on top. I mean, nothing
that
better.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, nothing better.
We'll send you the details of where it is.
Please do.
It was such a cool find that our friend's like hairdresser told them about. And it's been there for a while, but it's really getting big now.
Like it started with one truck of these guys who were just doing like al pastor and like that kind of tacos and just like simple. And then it just like expanded, more and more people started coming until it's like a whole street that you walk down. It takes like 10 minutes to walk down.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I've never heard of this and I want to go. I want to go immediately. This is the best.
And there's a lot of like desserts and stuff that look amazing.
We got churros.
Yeah. Churros. And then you had like a smoothie or something.
I got a watermelon agua fresca.
Oh, yum.
Whoa. I have a sweet tooth for sure. I'll tell you a weird thing. Because we're talking about Mexican food. Growing up, we called Sloppy Joe's hot tamales. And I don't know. It would be like on the my little town. There's a weekly thing called Lakeshore Weekly, and it would be, you'd get it in the mail. It's like free. It'd be mainly advertisements, but it also had the school lunch menus of like the three towns around the area that were getting this. And it would say hot tamales for Sloppy Joe's. Like I wasn't, it wasn't just my house. It wasn't until I got to Milwaukee that I even knew tamales were something else. And now it's insane. I think it's insane that we called Sloppy Joe's hot tamales, which we still do.
That's wild. Also, like, crazy? Tamales are already hot, you know?
It's redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, like, we had them at a show, and they were like, hey, you want some tamales? I was like, yeah. And I get over there, I'm like, where are they? Like, these are it. I was like, what? I could not have been more sheltered. It was insane.
Well, I like, no, 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 like a sandwich with like,
yeah, with meat, and it's got like a sauce.
Where's
and like
the
spices.
Tamales?
Yeah.
I think looking at tamales too, they look weird because it's like a tube.
Oh, it's all wrapped up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I did not know how to eat it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think most people, the first time they see, if you haven't grown up with it, you're like, am I supposed to bite into this like leaf?
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. Yeah.
Wow. For anyone who's listening hasn't had a tamale, you gotta unwrap that thing.
Unwrap the. There's like a corn husk or a banana leaf or something around
it. It's like a Christmas present. You unwrap it, and inside is like soft, delicious masa and
so
cheese
good.
And whatever else is in there.
But if you're having a hot tamale from where I'm from, keep the bun on.
Don't unwrap it.
Let's talk really quickly about the Bucks, because you're a Bucks fan, right?
Yes, huge Bucks fan.
So how did you were you into the Bucks in your hometown, or was that when you got to Milwaukee?
No, I was into basketball when I was a kid. It's the I follow all most sports in general. I enjoy sports and played sports, but basketball, particularly the NBA, is what caught my eye for whatever reason early on.
Yeah.
I had a Clippers hat when I was a kid, which was crazy because they were awful then. But I liked that. I think I was like, they were underdog, and I liked the colors, and I liked some of the guys on the team.
Yeah.
But I always liked the Bucks. Ricky Pierce, who was a Milwaukee Buck, he's a sixth man of the year. And he and I share the same birthday, which I learned as a kid and never forgot. but I liked that. NBA basketball. And of course, when I was growing up, Michael Jordan was anything and everything.
Of course.
But I would get these, it's like an almanac for NBA. And this book would come out. It was like the, I don't know if it was even called the basketball almanac, but it would come out every year. And I was collecting basketball cards, and I would collect this, and I would buy this almanac, and it would have a breakdown of every player in the NBA, including the coach, all their stats. And I would just pour over it every day, all day, just
memorizing.
Memorizing, absolutely. Players from the Dallas Mavericks who meant nothing to me, but I would like learn their stats. A lot of Denver Nugget stuff. But I loved it. I loved it all. And because the Bucks are the hometown, they were the ones that stuck
closest
to me.
Yeah, back in the day, it's like that's who you see on TV the most,
right?
Who you see most. Yeah. Although we saw a lot of the because we got a Chicago WGN. Was a station that played a lot of Cubs. Like, it was a Chicago station. We got it here in Wisconsin, there in Wisconsin, and so I would see a lot of Bulls too, just as a result of where I lived.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the current Bucks team?
I'm going to tell you right now, when you asked me to do this podcast a week or two ago, They had just swept the Heat.
Yeah.
And I was like, heck yes, I want to do this podcast. I am riding high.
Feeling great.
Let's rock and roll. I'm top of the world. I'm going to be so excited. And then after games one and two, I was so mad, as mad as I get. And I was like, I don't want to do this podcast anymore. Aww. This is going to be so sad.
Sorry.
But then, no. It's great. I truly don't get too high or too low about basketball. But then after game three, which was not pretty, but we eked out a win, so it won't be embarrassing when they win the next two. I love the Bucks. I love everyone on the Bucks, but we've got some issues. And I, who know very little bit about the real details of basketball, have strong thoughts and opinions that are probably way off about what they should do.
Yeah, someone's getting fired. Someone's getting traded.
Someone's getting traded. Yeah. Always.
It's always the outcome.
Was very exciting when you guys got Drew Holiday, though. Mm. I mean,
so exciting.
He's such. I love him, and he love seemed him. To fit in so well with Giannis. So
doesn't he seem like such? He's proven it. He's yeah. such a good human being. Like,
oh, you'd yeah.
like to like talk yeah. with him and
I wanted, I wish. To him. I oh, wish. Me too.
I wish we could have him on the pod.
I wish me I could too. Go out to, you know, go out to drinks, yeah. go out, get some tamales. we would have such a fun time. Okay.
He's so great.
We have a question that we do ask every single guest.
Yep.
And it is very important. You may have heard it before, mm-hmm. but if given the opportunity and considering that this would be completely consensual, who would you kiss
in the current yeah. league?
In the current league. Okay. Current players only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, LeBron James.
Mm.
How many are we naming? Just one?
As many as you want.
LeBron
Unlimited.
James. Chris Paul.
Ooh.
I'm going to say right now, it's going to be guys in their later 30s because I'm in my 40s and it feels weird if I'm kissing someone in their
20s. Okay, yeah. Okay, I respect that.
We kind of talk about where we're like, yeah, this guy's really cute. And then we're like, ugh, he's 21.
Yeah, feels weird.
LeBron, Chris Paul, mm-hmm. Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say Jrue Holiday. I think he's like 31.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Giannis, but he's too young. So those are the big ones. You want to, in my opinion, like if we're going to kiss NBA players, let's kiss the big names.
Yeah. Well, and sure. you know, Carmelo, LeBron and Chris Paul, they're all friends. Four-way kiss.
Maybe.
Hey, look at that. We're talking about efficiency now.
Save time. All right. Yeah.
Or maybe you're all just hanging out and you just go bam, bam, bam. You like, all, line them up.
Or you're playing spin the bottle.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a situation that I'd be in if that was the where I was playing spin the bottle with those three.
We got to make it happen.
What a dream life.
It'd be everything would be different after that in my life.
Yeah.
Here's what we'll do. Anastasia and I are going to write a movie where this scene happens.
Yes.
And we'll cast you in it.
Right.
If that happens, I feel like then you just have to, I guess anything is possible. Whatever dreams I want to pursue, the best thing can happen, the worst thing can happen, but it's all on the table now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I love that.
Yeah, I know Kelly Oubre is one of yours, right?
Yes.
A goddess. I mean, look, I'm going to kiss him too.
She was wearing a Kelly Oubre shirt yesterday. Okay? She's not going to turn him down.
But I also respect that a goddess' feelings are way stronger for him than mine, so... I'm going to give Agata first.
Thank you.
First,
I would be
right
if you kissed him. I would be so mad at you. Actually, no. I'd be proud. I'd be proud.
But if it had,
I would be jealous.
If we were both in access range of him, I would be like, "Oh, meet my friend Agata."
Thank you.
But if it was like I met Kelly Oubre in like Paris, and you were here in LA
under the Eiffel Tower. Nighttime.
I would kiss him and then maybe FaceTime you and be like, look at Kelly.
Okay, that's fine. As long as I'm involved. Like if you came home and then were like, guess what happened in Paris? I'd be like, no.
What if you're just like scrolling through your Instagram and you're just kind of going at a fast pace and then you see like a picture of Gabe and Kelly Oubre kissing and you're like, wait, what? And you have to like scroll back? When your mind be blown?
Yeah. I would be like, how dare he post it without telling us first?
Like, we're finding out.
Posting it. Kelly Oubre's posting it.
Okay.
Gabe was trying to keep it under wraps. But
yeah,
Kelly
cares about your feelings.
Yeah. He couldn't hold it in anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, I would be proud of you, Gabe.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into a little basketball news.
Please.
So much happens in a week. We can't possibly cover it all. So we wrap it up in a little segment called Previously on Basketball.
Love it.
Previously on Doogie basketball. Howser MD.
Nice. Throwback. All right. Let's read some headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Nikola Jokic wins the MVP award. His horse Dreamcatcher is snubbed in acceptance speech.
Oh no.
The Knicks' Tom Thibodeau is named Coach of the Year. Rudy Gobert wins his third Defensive Player of the Year award. C'est très cool, non? Shanae Ogumike launches new bi-weekly podcast, Shanae, on ESPN. Her first guest is older sister Nika Ogumike. The 2021 Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award finalists are announced. The Pacers fire head coach Nate Bjorkgren. LeBron is switching his jersey number to 6 next season as a promotional tie-in with Space Jam 2.
What? I didn't hear about this.
Is that actually true that it's a promotional tie-in?
I think
Shams tweeted it.
Wearing it in the movie. He's wearing Space Jam, but I also think there's a chance he's like, this year stunk. I want to go back to the winning ways of the Miami Heat. It's a mix. Also, your first like two of your first three news items felt like they had kind of a joke after it, but sandwiched in between there's just Tom Thibodeau is coach of the year and nothing.
There's not always something funny to say.
Gabe writes these little peek behind the curtain.
Ooh.
Oh.
Sometimes I'll write one if there's something I really want to say, but usually Gabe writes these, and I think sometimes he tries to trip me up with like super alliteration or something. and sometimes a joke catches me off guard.
It's great.
Yeah.
Can a player just decide to change their number? I don't know how this works.
I mean, well, yeah, right?
But Gabe probably knows this, but LeBron, this is just what I'm reading. LeBron wanted to switch. Anthony Davis, who's on the Lakers, was 23 in New Orleans, and LeBron was going to give him that number when he first came last year. Mm-hmm. But Nike, who makes the jerseys, is like, you can't do that. I think it's because we've already made, we're going to lose millions of dollars because we've already made so many jerseys with 23 for LeBron. Mm-hmm. So you can't do it this season. So he held it off. And I think that's part of why he's doing it this season, in addition to Space Jam, in addition to this year stunk, and he wants to have a fresh start. That's my hypothesis. Maybe I'm off on that.
You're probably right.
That makes sense.
Sounds, yeah. Also, you know, now buy new jerseys. Like jersey sales might go up
100%.
If people are like, "Ooh, I want the new one."
Yeah,
absolutely. Also, single digit jerseys look cool to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
My favorite is a 00.
Really?
Really?
Isn't that fun. I'm pretty sure. Carmelo's 00 with the Blazers, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
That does look cool.
All right. Let's look at Kareem's finalists.
Yeah, this award has too long of a name. I'm sorry.
Social Justice Champions.
Two of Dave's kiss list are
hey, look at this.
You picked all around cuties.
All right.
Tobias Harris. I mean, we love him. We love him.
Yeah,
so,
he's great.
Love him. I think he's great.
Perfect. Drew Holiday, Carmelo Anthony, Harrison Barnes, another cutie.
Mm-hmm. Juan Toscano-Anderson, who he's got such an interesting story. He's on the Warriors. He was a rookie at like 32 or 31 or something.
Yeah.
He played in Mexico. He's from Oakland. He's half Mexican, half black, I believe. He played in Mexico for a really long time, played in the G League, kind of bounced around for a while, finally got onto the Warriors, his hometown team. Such a cool story.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't even know that. I'm going to follow him more closely as a result, because he got to the NBA about the same time that I moved to LA.
Oh my God. Oh. Do you think that was a coincidence?
not anymore, I don't.
Seems like it couldn't possibly be.
No.
All right, let's look at Rudy Gobert and his teammates.
Very well deserved. And I'm sure there'll be a couple more by the end of this career of yours. when I'm doing without you guys.
We know.
He's so handsome.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
I just got like starry eyed looking at him.
Yeah.
A wee wee.
So Ingalls got to give two award winners their awards.
He did?
Because he gave Jordan Clarkson his Sixth Man Award.
And that was a good one, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a natural showman, Joe Ingalls.
Yeah.
Do you think he will, do you think he'll present at the Oscars given his natural ability to give out awards?
Oh my God, I hope so.
Yeah,
me too.
I hope so.
If they don't get him on the roster, they're really missing out. You know what I mean?
And I do
want to see that Oscar roster.
I do think we should just call him Jingles from now
on. Yeah, Jingles.
Yeah. there's a dot between the J and the I, but it's pronounced Jingles.
Do you think he would love that? Or not love that.
He's gonna love it. He's gonna love it.
I think it's a good one. It's a fun nickname.
I think it depends on what kids called him in school.
How about Jingly Boy?
Jingly Boy?
Yeah. Is that better?
I think that's fun.
Okay.
I'm into it.
Yeah. Did you two have nicknames growing up that you were given or nicknames that you wanted to be given but never were?
I wanted a cool nickname, but I already have like a weird name that people can't pronounce, so they weren't. Yeah, and also like people, my last name is crazy long and people always like asked about it and stuff until I just stopped using it.
So yeah, you just cut it out of
the
equation.
I don't want to use it anymore because I'm like, just shut up, stop asking about
just
it,
shut up.
So my name Anastasia, it's very long. People hate to say it. And so everyone eventually gives me a nickname. My parents called me Pooh Bear, which got shortened to Pooh, which is embarrassing as an adult in her 30s at the grocery store with my dad. And he's like, hey, Pooh, should we get some, you know?
You just keep walking down the aisles.
I don't know this man.
I don't know.
My sister calls me Stasia. Most people shorten it to Stasia. Okay. But then
really?
When I met Agata and the group of friends, that I met with Agata, they all call me Stas, which came out of a joke because someone called me Anastasia.
Stas so, is fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I like it. I like hearing what people end up on. So.
Stas sounds like the nickname of a guy in a frat, like in a movie that is like, this guy likes to drink. Stas! Sounds like that. And that guy's like, he's just like a fun guy who's like, that's what that name sounds like. Anastasia is a great name. My friend, his last name is Anastasia. I met him in my first UCB class out here, and we now live in the same apartment building.
Amazing.
Also, it's the name of a singer. Is that right? Anastasia? Mm.
There is a European singer named Anastasia. There's also the fish singer, Trey Anastasio.
Oh.
Yes.
Which is the boy version of my name. there's also a crime family, the Anastasio family.
Mm. Are you part of
fun.
It?
I wish I were a part of it. Anastasia Anastasio. What a cool name.
I like that.
Yeah. that'd be wild if that was your first and last name.
I did try to get people in college to call me Biscuit and no one agreed to it.
Why? Why Biscuit?
I don't know. I just thought it was cute. And you just can't make your own nickname. It never works.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, this is well-worn territory, but like Sting, I think gave that to himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think Flea gave himself that nickname. Maybe.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I think it's crazy and bold do that.
I guess when you're like a musician, you kind of can force it to stick because you just put it on. Right.
Put it in the liner notes.
Yeah. You're like, don't call me David.
Wait, do you have a nickname? I mean, Dave is short.
Yeah. That's
Dave is short. It's yeah, I get a lot of Dave. I get a lot of just Toonie. A lot of most of my friends here is just Toonie. Growing up is a lot of Looney Toonie.
Oh no.
And then SNL had a sketch called Toonses the Driving Cat.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
So it's a lot of Toonses. Mm-hmm. I did not like Looney Toonie. I did not care for Toonses, but also there's, as you know, there's almost nothing you can do if someone is calling you something else. Especially your friends when you're a kid, you can't throw a huge fit, and even though you really want to, because that's even worse.
Yeah.
So they'll be like,
oh, we're really going to call him that for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. They found
the
weak
funeral,
spot.
At his funeral, we're going to bring it up.
Yep. Yep. They will never let him live it down.
All right. Let's look at Jokic and his trophy.
Oh.
Yes.
Nikola Jokic holding up his MVP trophy. Crazy. Here in Denver.
Aww.
Cute.
Slaps on the butt.
As the Nuggets and the Suns get ready to play game three of this Western They're
like tickling the trophy.
These are his brothers.
Oh, cute. His brothers kissed him.
Yeah. Through the mask. So sweet.
Moments before another loss. Their third loss in the series. On the brink of a disaster. Or second loss.
Well,
I hate to bring it up, but I love my sons, and they're just destroying the poor Nuggets.
Yes.
I'm team son. Sorry. Sorry, Gabe.
Yeah, they're super fun. Hey, here's a fun thing. Sorry, Gabe. Of the eight, you may already know this. Of the eight remaining teams, five of them. So if you're like, my sons are losing, my Nuggets are losing, five of the remaining eight teams have never won an NBA title. So it'll be super exciting for a lot of the teams still left. And three of them, the Sixers haven't won since 83, so it's been a long time.
Wow.
The Bucks haven't won since 71, even longer.
Wow.
Yeah. And the Hawks haven't won since 58.
Holy crap.
Something like that. So like all their main teams either have never won or haven't won in a long time. So that makes it kind of fun. And
I love that.
The Hawks or the Sixers are going to be gone, so that'll eliminate, and probably the Bucks. So it'll be almost all teams who never won a title before.
Which is so cool.
I know. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's like so up in the air. We have no idea what's going to happen.
Right.
Which
yes.
is
It'll be
like
exciting.
That always. Yeah. That always makes it way more fun. Let's look at Jokic getting drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
2014.
Two things you only dreamed would come together.
Nikola Jokic. Just at the bottom ticker.
Wrapped around.
He was like 41 in the draft or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not
no
even
one gave
worth
him a second thought.
Second of footage.
No.
We were looking at was that the Quesarito or what was that?
I think it was the Quesarito. Might have been when the Quesarito was introduced. It might have been brand new at that time.
Oh, well, then maybe everyone was watching. You're tuning in for the announcement.
Here's a question for you. If the fans of the Denver Nuggets had to vote, hey, either A, we lose Nikola Jokic, but we keep Taco Bell as a franchise, or we lose Taco Bell, we keep Jokic. One of the two. You have to lose one. What do you think Denver fans would vote for?
That's hard.
You mean like every Taco Bell in Denver would disappear
in the world?
In the world,
Taco Bell's gone, but you keep Jokic.
That might start a war if they got rid of Taco.
Goodbye, Jokic. Get back to
say
Serbia,
Jokic,
buddy.
Right?
Yeah, get back to Serbia, buddy.
Yeah.
Like Taco Bell's too beloved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think even diehard Nuggets fans would be like, there's no, we have to keep Taco Bell.
What's your Taco Bell order?
It's harder now because I do a vegan diet. Mm. But when I was doing Taco Bell, which I adore, it was a lot. It would be like three crunchy shell tacos with hot sauce. What is it with the hard shell and the soft shell?
A cheesy gordita crunch,
nachos, and then whatever dessert they've got, and a Baja Blast.
Whoa. They've got those like little cinnamon things that are full of
those like mini churros or whatever.
Yeah.
They're delicious. Know if they had them when I was eating it, but it would be like some sort of like whatever you got that's sweet is what I want. Why? Yeah. What's yours?
I'm a cheesy gordita crunch gal. I love them. I especially love it if I can get it with the Dorito shell, which is rare. Sometimes they'll do that. Yeah, that's usually what I go for.
Yeah, cheesy gordita crunch, sub beans for beef, and then I love, I know they took it away and then brought it back, but the spicy potato soft taco, so good. Mm.
Yeah, that's good too.
Yeah, I'm excited for them to be making more, going into the, which they will at some point, the vegan territory like Del Taco has.
Right.
Yeah, they brought back all their potato stuff, so you can eat that stuff.
Yeah, I can start getting into it. I went to Scottsdale recently, and I hadn't eaten for a minute, and so I'm like, I'm going to stop somewhere on the way, and I'm like, Del Taco has vegan options for tacos, and I stopped at Del Taco, I don't know, around Quartzsite or something like that, some no-name place, and it was awful.
No!
And it was truly awful, and I should have known that this roadside Del Taco halfway between Arizona and LA was not going to deliver. Aww. It was truly awful.
I'm sorry.
I don't hold that against them because I've had them before and they've been better.
Yeah.
Also, probably no one is ordering that taco at that Del Taco.
In Quartzsite.
Yeah. They're probably like, you want a what? I don't know. It's probably just a regular taco. They're like, just give him this thing. He's not going to know.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the playoffs right now. So
yeah,
we're recording this. Bucks have 1-1. They're playing again tomorrow.
Yep.
How are you feeling? You think the Nets are gonna? It's a gentleman's sweep, or?
I think it's a gentleman's sweep. I think the Nets are too good. Especially if Harden comes back at any point, it's over. They're too good. Harden's too good. But I think they're going to rest him as much as they can, as long as they keep doing what they're doing. I don't think they can stop him. My thing is, and I love Giannis. I'm so I love him so much, and I'm so glad he re-signed with the Bucks. I just want Drew Holiday to be the point guard who's bringing the ball up and distributing, and I want Giannis, who cannot shoot. I want him down low with Brooke Lopez, and I just want them banging away in the paint. And I just think you two are unstoppable down there. Just stay down there.
Yeah.
Giannis shot 8 threes in the last game and made 1. He's terrible at it. Yes, it's awful. But just like, so I was listening to another podcast, and they were saying the thing that is true is like, do the thing the other team doesn't want you to do. They all want him to shoot threes. So stop doing it because you're bad at it, and just go down there and dominate. You're like Shaquille O'Neal down there.
Yeah.
That's my thought, but I still think they're going to lose.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. And I think, should we call up the coach?
Should we like, hey, bud.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got the best idea for you for the next game.
I know you haven't thought of this yet, but I agree with you. Yeah. I feel like they need to switch it up, even though then it's unfortunate because I feel like the Bucks would have gone farther, but the Nets just have this powerhouse team, you know?
It's gonna be hard. What are you gonna do? It's gonna be hard for anyone to beat the Nets.
Yeah.
They're the ones to beat for sure.
Super hard. Yeah. KD is a killer.
I wanna see the Suns do it. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
The Clippers, I feel like unlikely to make it. Unlikely. I think.
I want them to do it. I want them to win, but it seems like they got a tough road ahead of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like I love the Clippers, and I would love to see them win, but I just don't feel it happening.
Yeah.
What's your two views on fandom? And by that, I mean, do you have a set of rules that you follow as far as like who you're allowed to root for?
No. We're very, and it makes people mad because we're very like loose with it.
Yeah.
And we love just like seeing people have fun and play fun games.
Yes. Yeah.
And like be friends with each other or get in fights with each other. We love equally both.
We love emotion and drama.
Yeah. And like, you know, I
oh my God,
I love this.
So we're looking at, PJ Tucker and
KD
got into a little bit of
almost
a scrap.
Kissing. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just a horny shot.
Yeah,
you know? They're almost lip locked.
I sent this to the poster to Kinko's to get made into a poster immediately. I know Kinko's doesn't exist anymore, but
like I you know, grew up in Texas for the most part. So I loved the Mavs. That was where I started loving the NBA. And then I came to LA where I started following the Clippers. And Anastasia also, like, you know, she was in Phoenix and then she was in the Bay Area and then she was here. So she has three teams. Like, but really, we're not like, I don't know. I don't like the kind of fandom that's like, this is my team and this is the only thing I care about.
And like, it, like my whole thing is that I feel very strongly about certain teams, but I'm not going to live and die by them. And I know that some people think that's the only way to be a fan. But I think that's kind of what made me not want to be a sports fan for a long time because of how intense some people would be. Like, I wasn't proving myself enough to them. And I'm like, all right, then I'm out of here.
I agree. Or like, I mean, especially with like, I would say like Lakers fans especially are just so intense with it. And like, they just want to bully us because we like the Clippers. But like, we don't engage with it because it's like, I'm not going to bat for the, like, I don't care. I'm having a good time.
Right.
But then you see like the teams that have these huge fan bases that like, you know, they never win, like the Knicks or something, like
or the Kings.
Yes. Or the Bulls. Mm-hmm. It's like these people have like committed decades of fandom, like, decades. And they're so committed to their team. And it's like, I just don't understand it. Cause that's not the kind of fan I am, but like,
no,
you know, I get that, like, they've spent all this time and energy like into one team. It's just like, that's not what is fun about basketball to me.
No, I'm with you on that. Here's a question. My general rule is, for me, I'm like, I could cheer for the city I'm from and the city I live in. So I like the Bucks, I like the Lakers, I like the Clippers, but also I just like the NBA in general.
Yeah.
And I would love to go, like, if I was in Orlando and I was like at a sports bar and everyone's watching the game and cheering Orlando, I'd be like, I'm going to cheer for Orlando. I want to get in on this fun. That seems like a good time, right? That seems so
exactly.
great.
Exactly.
We've done that. We did that in Portland.
Yeah. Why not? It's so fun. Here's a question I have. So would you say you're Clippers fans generally over the Lakers?
Yeah.
If you're picking an LA team. Now, why is that?
I think originally it was because we could go to those games. It was cheaper.
Okay, they're cheaper.
They were more accessible.
Yeah. And also it was fun. Like, I feel like, you know, it was like nobody had any expectations of them. And like, it was just like you went to a game and they really put in their all and like they surprised people by winning. And then I think that kind of changed when Kawhi arrived, people put all these expectations on them as far as like, oh, they're the new Warriors. Like, people would say dumb shit like that. Like, this is the new Warriors team. It's like, okay, no, just because there's like good people on the team, like, that it takes a lot more than just like
superstars.
Yeah, like two superstars on a team to become the Warriors, what the Warriors were, you know, just dominating for years the way they were. And obviously it didn't work out for them because it's been years now. And like, the Clippers haven't meshed. Last year they burned out spectacularly and became the real laughing stock of the whole NBA. And it's like, I mean, I wasn't like, okay, Kawhi's here, we're winning a title this year, because that's just, obviously, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like the Clippers to win because I would like the Clippers to win for many reasons. One, they're just LA, but also because Donald Sterling is still alive and I would love them to win while he's still alive without him.
Oh, that's
not that you care, because he's like a complete narcissist.
Yeah.
But I would love that to have that. So I'm still pulling for them as well to come out of the West.
You could pull out that old Clippers hat that you had when you're
had that. I wish I still had that. I think it was white and I like didn't wear a lot of, like, I don't know if I wore hats a lot as a kid, but it was white and it was like a classic NBA hat, which they still make now. Like, Mitchell and Ness will make them in this like kind of like certain font that they did for all the teams. Mm-hmm. But it was like white and I was like, I don't want to get it dirty. And I also felt like weird wearing a white hat. Mm-hmm. It was like the second one, that Mitchell and Ness one.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, with
cool.
that type of font. I just I wore it a handful of times, but I got self-conscious for whatever reason. Also, I was at whatever age where you're just self-conscious about everything that you're doing.
Yeah, totally.
Kid. Also, white for hat is rough because
you're sweating.
Yeah. And it's hard to like clean a hat too. It's like, how do you
clean a hat?
Yeah.
It's hard to clean a hat, folks.
I remember
there's one thing you're going to take away from this podcast.
My brother would buy those hat cages that you then put in the dishwasher.
Ooh.
Does it work?
I don't know.
Dishwasher.
I think it ultimately ruined the hat.
Wouldn't you get like spaghetti on it and stuff?
I don't know. I think we would just run a hat cycle.
My hat's dirtier than it was when it went in. We had full meatballs in the dishwasher. What were we doing? We didn't rinse off our plates at all.
Yum.
When you were kids, were you like me? Like I could not have been more dramatic when it was like, Dave, load the dishwasher. Oh, what? And I would just like, it would take me 45 minutes. Now it would take me 4 minutes. But then I was just like, and I didn't want to touch the dirty dishes.
I don't even have a dishwasher anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, what was I whining about?
Right. The ease. The complete ease.
Yeah. And you're supposed to put things in dirty too. Like, and now when I load a dishwasher, I clean everything before I put it in. And people yell at me. They're like, you're supposed to leave it dirty. They need something in there to like
clean
up.
They need something in there.
Yeah, the dishwashers are like, please give us grease.
That's why you're getting spaghetti all over your hats. Just putting a whole plate of spaghetti in there.
Yeah.
When I washed dishes as a kid, I had to wear gloves because I was like, that dishwater is dirty and disgusting. And I was like mortified and grossed out by it. So I'm like, where are the gloves? Where are the gloves? My mom and dad must have been like, what a baby our kid is.
You had to protect your perfect manicure.
Yeah.
Yes, and this was like at 13 even. I was like, where are the gloves?
I wish I had that problem now.
Yeah.
I'm scrubbing every day.
Every day.
I mean, my building is from the 20s, so none of the apartments have dishwashers.
Yeah.
They're little.
No, mine neither.
I don't even have a garbage disposal, which is something you don't think about until you don't have it. And you're like, this sucks. I wish I had that.
You're just grabbing spaghetti out of the sink.
You gotta pull out all the little chunks of food.
Oh God.
It sucks.
Isn't it crazy how I look at that now and I am also in an apartment with no garbage disposal, no air conditioner. I like except an in-unit one I had to buy. Mm-hmm. Those little R2-D2 units. Mm-hmm. And now I just think, boy, my mom and dad, what success stories. They had garbage disposals. They had a washer and dryer that wasn't coin operated.
Yes.
Man, they were living in the lap of luxury back then. Yeah. They were really doing it.
For real.
Exactly. Yes. I think about that all the time.
I'm such a disappointment to my parents. They come over. They're like, wow, no dishwasher I see.
Let's take a look at your 401k. How's that coming along?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. That sounds like my dad. He wants to check in every day.
On your 401k. Yeah.
My dad is obsessed with retirement. Like he literally, every time I talk to him, he's only talking about how he wants to retire.
Wow.
I'm not exaggerating. Every conversation. And he was like, I'm finally getting laid off. Woohoo. He's like excited about it. So that he can start his retirement. Or like my parents are young. They had kids really young. So I'm like, mm-hmm. What? You want to retire now? Like,
yeah,
what
they're
are you
in
gonna,
their 50s.
Yeah.
Right?
I was like, what are you going to do for the rest of your life?
Life is
anything
long.
We want.
That's what he says.
Yes.
He's like, anything I want. And I'm like, okay, well, knowing my dad, though, he's going to be like 2 years in and he's going to be like, OK, what do I do? Or he's going to like, start playing World of Warcraft or something. That just like eats up all of your free time.
All his time. He gets really good at it. I've told this story before, but when I was in Wisconsin, I worked at a place called Northwestern Mutual. And this was I got the job pretty much right out of college, and huge. Huge place. They employ thousands of people. They have their home office in Milwaukee downtown. It's a super great company. Like they don't lay people off. They're super solid and successful. You get free lunch there every day.
Ooh.
You get a cheap breakfast if you want. And it's like really good. They have like a gym on site. But I was like, again, I'm like 23 or whatever. I don't know what I want to do, but I know I don't want an office job.
Yeah.
And I'm, I just seen Office Space, I think, and it would come around that time.
You were so inspired, I'm like deep, by the fax deeply inspired machine by thing.
That. Yeah. Deeply inspired by that. Yeah. And I can't picture anyone who has like a job where they're like, I love my job. I'm like, how can you love your job? I just want Friday to come immediately. But at one point I'm there and I'm on like the, I don't know, the 10th floor, and I'm making photocopies, and across the way I'm looking, there's another skyscraper. It's like US Bank or something. And there's a window, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, I bet right across the way, there's a guy who looks just like me in this visual business casual outfit, making copies, wondering what he's doing with his life. And I sit down at my desk, and there's a friend of mine who I made a friend with at work, and she's going to lunch. We had staggered lunches. She's like, all right, I'm going to lunch. I'll see you when I get back. And I just remember looking at her and going, no, you won't. And I quit that afternoon.
Oh my God.
And I walked out. I never felt so free. It was a sunny day. I felt so free and alive.
That's amazing.
And then I had to tell my mom and dad that there, and I told them at like a wedding that we had that weekend. They're like, how's work going? My aunt asked me, she's like, how's work going?
Oh no.
I was like, well, I don't work there anymore. And my mom and dad were like, what? Cause I hadn't told them. And then like a couple weeks later, my friend who lived in my hometown where my parents were, he's like, hey, how's Dave doing? And I was doing like improv on my nights and weekends at that point. My dad goes, well, he's an out of work comedian. And there's nothing funny about that.
That's a good joke. Actually.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
Man. Look at you now.
Look at me now. No garbage disposal. Coin operated laundry. No parking space.
But you're going to be in an upcoming feature with LeBron and Chris Paul
and Carmelo. Yep.
Yes.
It'll be
great.
We'll
start work on that immediately.
Spin the Bottle featuring Dave Tierney.
When you hear that name for the movie, like Spin the Bottle, cool, like a teen comedy flick. Who's in it? LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, and Dave Thune? What is that last name? Who is that? What are they doing? They're literally playing that game.
Yeah, the whole movie. Very loose plot.
It spawns four sequels. I played Spin the Bottle, I think, once in my life.
Really?
Terrified. I was terrified.
Me too.
One of the girls that were playing was like my like hardcore crush.
Oh no.
Ooh. And I was like, please, please, please. But also if it happens, oh no. Yeah. It didn't. I don't know if it I can't even remember if it happened anymore. It was such a nerve-wracking evening.
It is the worst. I played it many times, but it's like, yeah, you have to kiss in front of everybody.
I played it once when I was like 19, and which was like too old, maybe.
Yeah.
And I the whole time was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. Oh. Like, I would kiss any of these people in private, but I don't want to
like,
do
yeah,
it.
A forced kiss.
When the pressure is on. I mean, I would never be able
19.
To.
19.
I think I would be bad at doing free throws when, like, it's really important to make them because. I can't even kiss people when the pressure's on.
That's true. Yeah.
Should we get into our cutie comment of the week?
Yes. So each week we highlight the best / funniest / cutest comments made by the members of our Cutie Nation Discord. It's our cutie comment of the week.
Now to leave a great comment.
This week's comment is from Gabriel.
Not producer Gabe.
No, this is a different Gabriel. I hope this isn't considered a spoiler. I don't remember how to hide images from the latest X-Men comic. Mark Maron showed up at a party. Is that really Mark Maron?
I think it is. I think he was drawn like into him. This.
Oh, where are his guys? Or is that one? Is that guy?
That's his
the
guys.
Blue guy is one of his guys. Cool.
What do you mean? What? Where are his guys? What does that mean?
Because on his show, he's always like, "So who are your guys?"
Oh, okay.
It's like
yes,
one of
yes,
his
yes.
like classic right. questions.
Who are your? Who'd you grow? What comics did you kind of come into the scene with? I have a Marc Maron story. Should I tell it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's barely a Marc Maron story. It's way more of a me story.
Still great.
When I got to LA and I started doing UCB. And this is early. I think I'd done some commercial auditions at this point, but this has got to be my first 2 years out here. And I don't know if I'd done any theatrical auditions for TV shows or movies, but I got a call from my commercial agent. And they're like, "Hey, Curb Your Enthusiasm wants to see you. They want you to come in for this audition."
Amazing.
And I was like, "Really? Okay." And that was like on a Friday, and the audition was like on a Monday. And so, you know, I hang up or whatever. And I'm like, and this is how new it was. I was like, "I'm going to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm. They want to see me.
Larry David asked for you."
He asked for me. And Larry David was going to be in the room, which I knew.
Oh, my God.
Scary.
That's so cool.
And Larry Charles, who's like the head writer and like also like one of the head writers on Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. Not the head writer, but one of them. And so the whole weekend, I'm like, 2 years in and I'm going to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm. This show's great. I love this. This is going to be the best. And I'm like, I'm going to go. I'm going to book it. I'm going to do this show. So then I drive to like, I think it was like Santa Monica. And I get there and I walk in. And there are so many people there. And immediately I was like, oh, I'm not going to get this. They're auditioning lots of people. Okay. And like the dad from Family Ties, which is a TV show in the 80s, was there.
Wow.
And Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster, whatever, was there.
Of course.
And a guy from Mad TV, Booger from Revenge of the Nerds,
really?
Is it? And like Moonlighting is there. And I'm like, oh boy. Okay. And there's of course like a bunch of different roles that different people are auditioning for. And the audition is just improvised. It's just a scenario you're gonna improvise. And you're gonna improvise with Larry David.
Wow.
So I get in there and it's a blur. Larry is super nice. He carries me through the entire audition. I am not good. It's very argumentative, which is what the show is, but I'm really not, I don't feel good. And he's really like helping me. And I'm just like, and I walk out of there in a daze. And I walk out of there. And as I walk out, someone walks in and it just as the door shuts, I just hear, Larry, Mark, because Marc Maron was walking in as I was walking out. And I was like, well, that one is out the window.
Did he book it?
No, Booger did. It was a huge lesson very quickly, very humbling immediately as to how auditions work. I did not understand it.
I bet you were great. You're a very talented improviser.
Thank you. No, trust me, it was rough.
I'm just trying to make you feel better. But
nice. Thank you. I appreciate
it. What a nice welcome to the biz.
Yeah. You post it as your Facebook status, like, I'm going to be on Curb.
I'm going to be on. This is easy. What a piece of cake.
Amazing.
They saw me do a couple of crap heralds, and I'm on a major TV show with one of my heroes.
That's so interesting. The array of people that they had, though, like,
yeah,
so I guess many that's people. How they do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love like watching back seasons of that show and being like, hey, there's that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, knowing that it's all like semi improvised is just fun.
Yeah.
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 For sure.
Gabe and I went to Mark's house one time.
What?
That's yeah. True. Like when
the cat we, house.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
We worked at Earwolf at the time, and Gabe was taking photos of his studio for something.
Yeah,
fun.
For a website.
Yeah, and he was like, "Can you come with me?" Because he felt weird, and I was like, "Sure." So I was just there to be a buffer.
Yeah, I was scared to go by myself.
I would have been too.
Yeah, he was very nice.
He's bristly.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He made me a cup of coffee. He was very sweet. Got to see the kitties. Got to see the little den where magic gets made.
Yes. Oh, I'm jealous of that.
Yeah, it was great.
I made a list of my guys before we went. He never asked.
Just in case. Yeah.
Man.
I wonder if anyone ever...
You name the same guys he came up
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Kinnison.
Yeah.
What if
he's like, what the hell?
What if you just said, I wonder if anyone ever says, like, Marc Maron's one of my guys. Just trying to like kiss up really bad.
He would not respect that whatsoever. Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to be eligible for Cutie Comment of the Week, you can join our Cutie Nation Discord by signing up on our Patreon, patreon.com/dunktown. We just recently switched over our monthly video to doing two bonus audio episodes. You guys don't want to look at us anymore. You just want to hear us.
Yeah, you just want that comedy in your ears.
Yeah.
Not true. They want to look and they want to see. They want it to be a full sensory experience.
We'll do a VR someday.
Yeah,
how about
someday.
That?
And now we're trying to get to 125 patrons. We want to do an opening night watch along to Space Jam 2. That'll be fun. We're very close to that date and not very close to that number of patrons. So I don't know. Maybe we'll just we'll figure out what to do with that. Yeah.
We want to watch Space Jam.
Yeah,
too.
We're going to watch it. You know, we'll figure out.
Are you going to watch it, Dave?
For sure. I'm going to watch it. I'm a big LeBron James fan.
Yeah.
He bothers me at moments, but overall, I really love him. And I just think the world of him. He's the reason I'm a big Lakers fan, and he's definitely a big reason why I'm a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
I wish he didn't feel the need to have everyone love him so much. But also I want people to love me, so I also get it.
Relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like LeBron James? And also, are you excited about the movie and different about the movie? Did you like the first movie?
Love LeBron.
I did love the original movie. Gabe and Anastasia didn't watch it until like a
couple years ago.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Yeah. So I think like for me, it was like part of my childhood, but not for them.
No, I think I recognize that the first movie is like very much an important part of pop culture. And like some people love it because it was a huge part of their childhood. I think technically it's a bad movie but I also would watch it again. So, and I'm excited for the new one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's going to be a bad movie too, but I'm also excited for it.
It's got to be bad, but we will watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Space Jam, Michael Jordan, I'm rewatching The Last Dance.
Oh.
Did you watch The Last Dance?
We watched it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I haven't done a rewatch though. That's actually a good idea because there was so much information.
Yeah. I had a hard time keeping track of everything.
Yes, it's a lot.
So I think maybe watching it all at once would be better than like doing it once a week or whatever that they were releasing.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe here's what I'll say about it. I think it's really great. It taps into like my childhood and what I liked about basketball and stuff like that. But I think that the intro music and the outro music, which is, I think, the same thing, is so good and gets me so amped for the episode to start and then to see the next one. It's the best. And I love it, especially for the first like three episodes when they do it. I'm just like, oh, yes, let's do it again. It's really great.
I don't remember it. Can we listen to it for a sec, Gabe?
Oh, it's coming. Oh, yes.
This is intense.
Yes, it's intense.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The strings come in.
I got chills.
What's
right
going to happen?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fun.
That's basically what it is. But like when the episode's ending, it starts to slowly come in as they like talk about whatever they're talking about at the end. And then like it hits harder and I'm over the moon about it when it comes up.
Yeah.
I really love it.
It's
love
like, that. And then we went to Salt Lake City and it's like.
Yes, that's exactly it. And you get too excited about Salt Lake City.
And you're like, what happened there?
What happened there?
Dave, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Nothing. I'd like to plug this podcast. Let me plug The Last Dance. You should check it out.
Yeah.
And then also, I'm rewatching The Sopranos, and I'm still in season one. It's a fun show.
Iconic.
I've never
seen it. Everyone watched it.
I gotta watch it.
You gotta watch it.
It's good. It's good. But otherwise, listen to this podcast. Let's get to 125. That's what you're shooting
yeah,
for?
Yeah, that's our next goal, yeah.
Let's get to 125, because then we're going to watch Space Jam 2. Otherwise, you're just going to watch, what, Air Bud?
Not even. We'll watch the Air Buddies, the like spinoff movies.
They couldn't even book the original Air Bud anymore on it.
But everyone should follow you on Instagram at Dave Tooney.
There we go.
We'll put links in the show notes.
Sure.
But thank you so much for doing this. It was so fun.
Thanks for having me. Yes. It's a fun podcast. You do a great job. Gabe, aww, thank you so much. It's a joyful podcast. We need more of these.
Oh, that's
so sweet. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you to all of our cutie listeners for coming on this journey with us. As always, we love you.
Love you.
Bye. For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/Dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I'm on Twitter at @Echo_Mint and on Instagram at @AgataMonica. Anastasia is on both at @AnastasiaVigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Dominguez for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.